So, Jimmy, then we come to September 11th, 2001, and, of course, you were living in New York.
Yes, yeah.
And let me just recap. That's when 19 militants associated with the Islamic extremist group Al-Qaeda hijacked four airplanes. It carried out suicide attacks against targets in the United States. Two of the planes were flown into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York. A third plane hit the Pentagon just outside Washington, D.C., and the fourth plane crashed in a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Almost 3,000 people were killed during the 9/11 terrorist attacks, which triggered major U.S. initiatives to combat terrorism. So where were you living when that happened?
Well, David and I had an apartment then on 20th Street off of Fifth Avenue, and then we had our offices on Spring Street, which is, we were between Broadway and can't remember the other street now, but right down there. But we were, that seems very close to the World Trade Centers, but it wasn't exactly, but it's close enough, so to speak.
Right. What was your first indication of something had happened?
It was funny, I was talking to my younger brother, who lives in Texas, and I heard a plane, and it sounded very low. And it always, every once in a while you'd hear planes flying low, but usually it was just kind of a small plane and didn't think, you never thought of it as a jet. And it just, I was talking to him and I was like, that plane just sounds like it's so low, it's so strange. And this was whatever, I don't know, right before it happened. And it was, all of a sudden, you know, people started, in the office started saying, oh my God, something's happened. And you were just like, oh, okay. And we had, I think one of the, David's partner had a television in his office, and we watched that for a while. And, you know, everybody was sort of just didn't know quite what to do. You're just sort of stunned. You were just watching it. And then at some point, my office faced south, and I had a window that looked towards the Twin Towers. And there was a young lady in the office, and she was standing there just kind of watching it and just dumbfounded as I was. And all of a sudden, when they collapsed, and you were just like, I don't know what I saw, and that can't be what I saw. And you were just, I don't know if you were horrified, you were just numb. You thought, yeah. I don't know what that was. And then later, obviously, you would just kind of go, oh, that's what that was. And you were just very, very shocked about the whole thing.
Right. Did you have a direct eye view of the towers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you saw the collapse.
Yeah, yeah, just standing there, just, you know, we were watching it just kind of because before they were just, you know, on fire and there was a lot of smoke and all that happening. And then all of a sudden when they did collapse, you're just, you didn't know what you'd seen. I mean, you just were so surprised and stunned and it was, you just kind of walked away and thought, I don't know what that was. I don't know.
So did it take you a while to think you could even go outside, or you kind of...
No, and Spring Street's far enough north of World Trade Centers that we weren't caught up in all the smoke and the collapse of the buildings and all that debris and all that whatever was in the air. We were, I don't know how many blocks it is, but it's quite a distance, really. But anyway, so we never got that. If you were closer downtown to the World Trade Center, then you really, everything was covered in that ash and dust and mess, and that was awful.
So you probably went in that direction at some time, and
you know, I never did. I never went down there. Yeah. And also, they had cordoned it off. You couldn't get down there unless you were helping or, you know, working somehow. You know, if you lived down there, then you know you could get to your apartment and do things like that. But there were certain areas you couldn't, and people couldn't come for the first week or so. You couldn't even get below, I think it was 23rd Street, unless you could show that you had some sort of identification, why you would have something. Like, we had our office, so we had identification with that, so we could go. And anyway, we went back to the office. That was on a Tuesday morning, I think. And so we went into our office Wednesday and Thursday, and everybody kind of, the day that it happened, everybody left, and they had to walk home because they shut down the subway systems, and I would assume the buses were running, but I can't remember that, in Manhattan. But you had to walk home if you lived in Brooklyn or Bronx or New Jersey, and they did it. Everybody did it. It was like this great flood of people. Yeah. Walking. It was just kind of amazing.
Right. So some in your staff
Oh, yeah.
had to walk home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not everybody could could afford to live in Manhattan. So, you know, a lot of the young people lived probably in Brooklyn or wherever. I don't know if we had anybody that was living in New Jersey then, but anyway, they had to walk home. And so, you know, obviously we said, you know, don't worry about coming in. That's not going to be anything. So anybody who was in Manhattan tried to get in if they could, you know. So I remember one, but it was so stupid. We had a client that was supposed to have, she lived on Fifth Avenue, and anyway, she was supposed to have some carpet installed in the service area on Friday. So she calls up, and Kathy Cloutier, who was David's secretary, answered the phone, and she said, "Now they're coming today to install." And Kathy was like, I don't think so, because they're not letting any trucks or anything across the bridges. And no, you know, that's not going to happen. She said, "Well, it has to happen. It's on the calendar." And she was just like, "Well, I hate to tell you, but it's not going to happen." And then you realize, you know, when you're dealing with very, very rich people, they just assume that it's going to happen. So anyway, and you're kind of like, "Were you here yesterday? Have you been watching the news?" Anyway. <Right. laughs> It was kind of like we had another friend who ran Gloria's Food, who was it's a big catering company in New York, and very, very fancy one. And I think, I can't remember, he was a producer or somebody from Los Angeles, and he was supposed to have a party on that Friday. And he called up irate that he couldn't have the party, and they were just like, "Not much we can do about this, and it isn't that big of a deal." It's just a party.
The word entitled comes to mind.
Oh, yes, very much so. Yeah.
And here we thought everybody was so glued to the TV.
And there's other people think that their life's just going to go on exactly the way it was.
Yeah, right.
It was funny that day when David and I left the office about noon, because we just said, you know, "Go home, everybody." And we went down to a restaurant called Il Cantinore and had lunch. And then for some odd reason, we had a car service. And I don't know why, we went uptown and went to the antique dealers and looked at antiques all afternoon. And then we went home, and we were kind of thinking, "Well, what are we going to do for dinner?" Because for that point, we just kind of went out every night. So David said, "Well, let me go see what's open, you know." And so he kind of walked around. There was a few places open, and they said, "Sure, we have food, but it's cash only." For some odd, all the terminals were down and all the things. We said, "Okay, that's fine." So, you know, you're just sort of like, "Okay, well, anyway, we'll just see what we can do or can't do." And, you know, that's when you realize you need money at home and, you know, all kinds of things, you know. So, but anyway, it was a strange time, that was for sure.
So even though you lived where you did, you were affected because you couldn't use plastic.
Yeah, right, exactly. All strange. It was a very strange day, that was for sure.
Yeah.
And after a while, you didn't watch TV. I mean, it was like too much.
Yeah,
it was just too much. I remember my brother called me from Texas again, and my nephew was so upset. He was probably 10, I guess. And he thought, surely there's something that happened to me because I was in New York. And so Jeff said, "You know, would you talk to him?" "Oh, sure." You know, I said, "I'm fine. Don't worry. Everything's okay." But it's perception of what... If you didn't live in New York, it was kind of a strange, what is that like, you know? So anyway, it was a weird day, that was for sure.
You know, we've been talking about the 1921 massacre, and lots of people didn't know it till much later on. But on 9/11, I made a presentation to, I think they were 10th grade history class or social class, and I brought up 9/11 mm-hmm. because I was going to play something back from Voices of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And some of those had never heard, and they did not know about 9/11.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so where were they tracking in school?
Yeah.
Or their parents?
Parents, yeah.
And so that wasn't heard about. Is it any wonder that this massacre...
wasn't heard about. Right. No, exactly.
Right. Right. Anyway, well, thanks for sharing that, since you were so close to that in New York.